Okay. Good morning. Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to start a new sugya, the topic of Bechiras Yisrael. This is an appropriate time of year to discuss this topic. The holiday of Pesach is very much about Bechiras Yisrael. The Pasuk says, for example, before the 10th plague, that the purpose is Leman Teidun Ki Afle Hashem Bein Mitzrayim Uvein Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's distinguishing Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim and really from the rest of the world. And thus, we are going to consider this topic for a couple of weeks. The story is told, I think Rav Stolper quotes a story, that he once asked Rav Huttner, what is the most important issue to stress for our generation? And Rav Huttner told him that the answer is Bechiras Yisrael. And part of the reason for that is because we live in a world where many people feel uncomfortable with the notion of Bechiras Yisrael, insofar as it counters the contemporary ethos in which everybody is equal and nobody is better. Many people put the concept as everybody's special and we're also special. We're special. We say that first. We're special, and then you say everybody's special. When Barack Obama was running for president, so somebody asked him, this is the first term, somebody asked him if he believes in American exceptionalism. So he said, yes, sure. Just like the Germans believe in German exceptionalism, and the French believe in French exceptionalism, and alike. Which critics pointed out, basically he meant no. Now, whether or not there is such a thing as American exceptionalism is not my topic for today. But the way that I think many people present Bechiras Yisrael is in those terms. We're special, and everybody's special. Which, as I think we'll see from the Makoros, is not the way it's generally been understood. So we're going to try to understand this topic. To be sure, there are various different approaches among the Rishonim and the Achronim. It's not monolithic. We will try to avoid apologetics, as always. And let's begin with an introduction in which we're going to consider why it was that we were chosen. Why did we deserve it? Or do we deserve it? And a corollary to that question is, can we ever be rejected? Is God's love for us unconditional, or is it dependent upon our behavior? And we'll begin by considering the first moment of Bechiras Yisrael, namely the Bechira of Avram Avinu. The Maharal notes that there is a striking distinction between the opening psukim which describe Noach and the opening psukim which describe Avram Avinu. When Noach is introduced by the Torah, Ela toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya bedoro sof es ha'lokim hisalech Noach. The Torah tells us exactly why it was that Noach was chosen. He was a tzadik and he was a tamim, and accordingly he was fit for his mission. However, Parshas Lech Lecha does not begin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us the reason why Avram was chosen. It doesn't say, Ela told us Avram, Avram ish tzadik, tamim haya bedoro sof. It simply begins, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha mibeis avicha l'artz asher areka, v'escha l'goy gadol v'avarechecha v'agad l'ashemech v'yevracha, etc., etc. Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I'm going to make you into a great nation. But why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to speak to Avram and no one else? So that remains entirely mysterious, at least from the perspective of the Torah Shebichsav. The Ramban already picks up on this distinction. He answers that it relates to the Torah's tendency to wish to hide Avram's early history, which did involve Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when describing how Avram came close to God, noted that Avram initially was an Oved Avodah Zarah, v'hu haya Oved Imahem. Just as a ha'ara, this relates to the Seder, We say Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. So who was Avoseinu? So one understanding is it means Terach Avi Avram Vavi Nachor, etc. It refers to the pre-Avram days. But perhaps according to the Rambam, it's referring to Avram Avinu. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu means Avram Avinu was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Be that as it may, the Maral though, in Netzach Yisrael Perek Yud Aleph, gives a different understanding, a different resolution to the distinction between the introduction of Avram and the introduction of Noach. It's a very important parak. I recommend that you read the entire thing, but we'll start from where it's underlined. And to summarize, he's going to tell us that the different introductions relate to the disparate natures of the missions of Avram and Noach. Noach was chosen to be a survivor. He was chosen as an individual. And accordingly, as an individual, he was chosen because of the fact that he was most deserving, most appropriate for that mission. But his bechira was limited to him as a person. It didn't continue with his descendants. He didn't become a nation. Avram Avinu, on the other hand, was chosen not just as an individual, but like the psukim themselves say, that Avram Avinu was chosen to found a nation. And as such, the chosenness of the nation goes beyond the personal greatness of Avram Avinu. The Maral writes, Avalafia Dvarim Asher Amarnu Lacha Lo Yiksha Klal Kietzel Noach Lo Hayarak Bechira Prati Va Bechira Pratis Hu Lefi Mashahu Va Kol Hu Lefi Maase Tzidko Shalo Aval Beavram Lo Haya Bechira Pratis Rak Beuma Hayisraela Shehem Zaro Shareksiv Beosa Bechira Ve Eescha Le Goy Gadol Vize Bechira Klalis The bechira kemo zos ein tola b'maase klal, v'lo b'chet, ki hamaase hu leprat. And he continues, she'bechira pratis hu lefi ha-mekabel, v'im nishtana ha-mekabel, yishtana ha-davar. Meaning to say, if the bechira of Avram was based entirely on him as a person and his actions, so then, to the extent that he is good, then that Bechira would continue. And should he or his progeny thereafter lose that goodness, so then it would terminate. Because it's based off of a reason. Whereas, when it comes to a nation, so the Bechira becomes a national entity and goes beyond the actions or the worthiness of a particular individual. Ulekach yeturat hasheela, shelo hizkir akas of tzidkas Avram kodim shenigla elav hashchina ve'amar lo lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha ve'gomer. Sheim kach hayamashma shel lekach nigla elav hakadosh baruch hu ve'amar lech lecha me'artzecha b'shvil zechuso shehizkir. Had the psukim simply said, lech lecha, sorry, had the psukim introduced Avram like Noach was introduced, so then we would think that Avram was chosen entirely based off of his tzidkus, and his chosenness is accordingly dependent upon that tzidkus. Vimkein hayazos ha'ava tluya bedavar. V'chol ava tluya bedavar, batel ha'ava, batel davar, batel ava. Skipping a little later, ulekach etzel noach, shashem yisbarach karvo, zaya b'shpil masav bilvad. V'lekach lo haya b'chira b'zaro klal. V'ilu yavinu zeh b'nei Adam lo ala ha-machshavta machshav eshevel lo markem yizbarach ma'as b'Yisrael chas v'shalom. The Maral here alludes to a very important point, a constant refrain in Christian polemical writings is the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected us. And what the Maral here is saying, and we'll develop this idea shortly, is that rejection is impossible, because rejection is possible if the bechira is an ava tluya bedavar, it's not something that's inherent, but it's something that's dependent upon our behavior, such that we could say, batla davar, batla ava. Ma she'en kein, the bechir of Avram. And that's precisely why the Torah hides all of the reasons for Avram's chosenness. To be sure, when we read on, we find out that Avram was indeed the greatest person to ever live until that point. He was a Baal Chesed, and he had Avas Hashem and Yerushamayim and the like. But we find that out only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu chosen. Only after Parshas Lach Lecha. And that's to tell us that the initial Bechira was not based off of the reasons, though, as we'll see shortly, those reasons certainly existed. It's not that he was just an average guy before God spoke to him. But the Torah omits any mention of that so as not to imply that the chosenness is dependent upon that reason. Uvishmos Rabba. Re'o ra'isi es ani ami va'ered lahatzilo ki yadati es machovav. Yodeani kama sidim lahach iveni, kama yimruhu bamidbar vegomer.
It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he redeemed us from Egypt, thought that we would be the perfect people.
V'rotza lomar, ki bevadei habrisha karas im Avram lo sar, sherei nasan gvul, lo nasan gvul v'keitz lebris hazeh, rak amar lebris olam. This is demonstrated in the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Avram, which is an eternal covenant, a bris olam. A bris olam, by definition, means something that will never be broken. And while conceivably in a human agreement one could say that something is a mekach toz, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the future, such a taina would be impossible. V'afshe yagorim ma'aseim letov olera, she Yosef advekus oyigra. Now we shouldn't think that our behavior is irrelevant. There's no doubt that how we act will determine how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us. If we're tzaddikim, then there'll be dvekus, and if we're rishayim, then there will be distance. But that's very different than saying that the relationship could ever be terminated entirely. V'davar zeh bevadei haya lefi rov ha-maseh, ki az Yosef o-yigra, aval mikol makom etzem ha-bechira lo haya b'shvil shum maiseh klal. There's more here, as you could see. I highly recommend reading the rest. The Maral shows that this is the implied in a pasuk we see every day from Nehemiah. Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta BeAvram VeOtzeiso Mior Kastim VeSamta Shmo Avraham UMatzasas Levavo Ne'aman Lefanecha. The psukim seem to be going in order. So what does it say? First, Asher Bacharta BeAvram, Bechira was first. Hotzeiso Mior Kastim, Samta Shmo Avraham, and then eventually, Matzasa Es Levavo Ne'aman Lefanecha. That indeed it was the case. In other words, after the initial Bechir of Avram Avinu, we see how Avram was in fact the greatest person, and that's what the rest of Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayerech, Ha'isara, we find out about Avram's godless. But from the perspective of the Tarsha Bechsav, it's Bacharta B'Avram, and then Hotzei Sumer Kastin, and then Matzah Sislevavone Man Lefanecha. It's very relevant because we have to know about I'll fully address your question in 1 second, but on a basic level we have to know about Avram. Knowing about Avram and knowing about his godless and learning from his midos and learning about his chesed and learning how to be a great person from Avram Avinu is extraordinarily important. But what the pasuk stresses is first it was Bacharta b'Avram and then it was Matzasas Levavo Ne'aman Lefanecha. Now all this is the perspective that you get from the Torah Shebichsav. However, from the Torah Shebaal Peh, we get the opposite message. We read about how Avram Avinu independently discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu how he was Moser Nafsho Beor Kazdim, how before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever spoke to him, Avram Avinu had already proved to be the greatest person ever to live. Whether he discovered God at 3 or at 40, or it was a evolution, the way the Rambam presents it, and there are this perspective is poignantly depicted not just in Midrashim but in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, who writes, "V'kevan she'archu ayamim nishtakach Hashem hanechbad v'anora mipi kol yikum." As the days passed, the shame of HaKadosh Baruch was forgotten by almost all of mankind. Skipping, "Valderech hazeh hayah olam holech umizgalgel ad shenolad amudo shel olam v'ha'avram avinu. Kevan shenigmal etan zeh, hischil l'shotet bedato v'ukatan v'ischil l'achshov b'yom uv'alayla v'yatameya heyach efshar shiyagalgel hazeh noik tamid v'lo yelo manhig v'lo yisave v'oso." And the Rambam continues describing how Avram Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how eventually only after that discovery and after demonstrating incredible righteousness did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to him relatively late in his life. So we have then two different perspectives. The perspective from the Torah Shebichsav is one which indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us without a particular reason, or at the very least, the chosenness goes beyond any particular reason, and thus no reason for the chosenness is given. It's entirely obscure. It indicates HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice of Avram Avinu and subsequently Klal Yisrael reflects his inscrutable wisdom, but is certainly not something that we could relate to, and therefore it's not something that we're told about. Whereas the impression that you get from the Tarsha Baal Peh is quite the opposite, that the reason why Avram Avinu was chosen was because he was the greatest person ever to live. We have this very same pattern on numerous other occasions. I'll just mention one other, though we could add to this. The psukim say in Dvarim, Perek Zayin, "Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha, b'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha lios lo l'am segula mikol amim asher al p'nei ha'adama." And now the psukim say, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be an am segula? So first, it tells us what isn't the reason. Lo merubchem mikol amim chashak Hashem bachem vayivchar bachem ki atem hame'at mikol ha'amim. It's not because rubchem, on the contrary, you are me'at. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamro es hashvua asher nishba lavosachem. Hotzi Hashem eschem ki v'yad chazaka vayivtecha mibeis avadim yad paro melech mitzrayim. So it doesn't tell us the reason. It says it's because of the Ava. It tells us because of the Shvua to the Avos. But it's not because of anything special about Klal Yisrael. On the contrary, the psukim say it's nothing to do with you. Lo merubchem. On the very words of the pasuk that say the reason is lo merubchem, Chazal see the opposite. They see that there is something special and different for us, different about us. The Gemara in Chulin, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Komakom Shata Motzei Dvar Shel Rabbi Lazar, Bino Shel Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Ba'agada, Sei Aznecha Kafar Cheses. Lo Meirubchem Mikol Amim Chashak Hashem Bachem. Am Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Choshkani Bachem, Shafilu Beshah, Sheani Mashpia Lachem Gedula, Atem Mimatim Atzmechem Lefanai. Lo Meirubchem, as opposed to the simple reading of the psukim, in which the psukim are telling us, don't think that I chose you for a particular reason, merubchem, the Gemara sees bakert. I'll tell you the reason. Lo merubchem, why? Because you're humble. You're memayit et atzmechem. When I give you gedula, instead of glorifying yourself with it, you humbly serve God. Nasati gedula l'Avram, amar lefanai, v'anochi afar v'efer. L'moshe v'aron, amar v'nachnu ma. L'david, amar v'anochi tolas v'lo ish. Aval ovdei kolchavim einan kein. Nasati gedula l'nimrod, amar hava nivne lanu ir. L'paro, amar mi Hashem. L'sancherev, amar mi b'chol Elohei ha'aratzos. L'nevuchadnetzar, amar ele al bamase av. L'chira melech tzur, amar moshav Elohim yashavti b'lev yam. So the question that we have to consider now is, how do we deal with contradictions of this sort between the biblical text and our Masorah? Here we really have two very different presentations of the nature of Bechiras Yisrael in Tarsha Bechsav and Tarsha Baal Peh. And the answer, I think, is that when you have instances such as this, perhaps another time we can elaborate on this point and discuss what Pshuto Shel Mikra means and how we should relate to it. But the answer is that the Tarsha Bechsav and the Tarsha Baal Peh provide two different perspectives on the same idea. And accordingly, as we'll see momentarily, the idea is a complex one, such that the perspective you get from the Tarsha Bechsav alone is incomplete, and likewise from the Tarsha Baal Peh alone is complete. But when you look at them both together, so then you get the Torah's message as to how to understand the nature of Bechiras Yisrael. And likewise, in this case, to put it in brisker terminology, there's Tzvei Dinim. The Torah is telling us that there are two aspects to our Bechira. We were indeed chosen because of who we are, as Chazal tell us, and because what we accomplished, both as a people and especially Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom. And likewise, there's an aspect to the Bechira which is indeed beyond reason, which is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inscrutable knowledge, and which guarantees that our Bechira is eternal and can never be broken, because it's not dependent on a particular reason, but goes beyond reason in general. And perhaps an expression of this can be seen in two of the mashalim that we find in the Torah that are used to depict the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are psukim which portray our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as banim lamakom. Ko amar Hashem, bini bechori Yisrael. We are banim Hashem, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. We are also depicted as the spouse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki vo alayach osayach Hashem tzivako shemo, the pasuk says in Yeshaya. The entire Sefer Shir HaShirim is meant to depict the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as that of lovers. And we know that there's a very big difference between the love that exists between a parent and a child and the love that exists between spouses. A parent loves a child not for anything that they did, and not for any particular reason. It's an inherent love. From the moment they're born, that love exists. Child doesn't deserve that love. The child might drive his parents crazy, crying and requiring incredible amounts of work and attention. But nevertheless, there's love. And moreover, that love is guaranteed and can never break. A child cannot divorce his parents, and a parent cannot divorce his child. They may choose to not talk to each other, to distance themselves. But the parent-child relationship will always remain. There's no such thing as gerushin. It's permanent. You will always be their child. And thus, even if for a time you're estranged, when you go back, that bond continues. Whereas, when it comes to a spousal relationship, this isn't true. First and foremost, the spousal relationship is based off of reasons. Now, hopefully, it eventually becomes an avashena tliya b'davar. But when a person chooses their spouse, it's because of qualities that they have, or shared vision, or dreams that they hope to realize together. It's not just a choice that's automatic. And moreover, because that's the case, if one party fails to live up to the expectations or the contract or the agreement, then it could be terminated. There's the possibility of gerushin. And likewise, the mixed metaphor is used to describe the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not a contradiction. We are both his child and his spouse. We were chosen both without a reason and because of our greatness. Put it differently, the metaphor of the parent-child relationship, Banim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, is the one that's depicted at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares his love for Avram Avinu before Avram does anything, at least depicted in a text, to deserve that love. Whereas, the Mekoros and Chazal that describe Avram Avinu's early accomplishments are a reflection of the spousal relationship. And thus, to Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'akimos yes brisi, b'ni u'v'necha, b'en zarecha charecha l'dorosam, l'bris olam. And this yesod will help us understand what seems to be a stira in many psukim. There are many psukim indeed that tell us that the covenant, that the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael have is eternal, everlasting, and guaranteed. Like the pasuk we just read, it's a bris olam that could never change. As Rashi says, L'kach l'fi she'diber l'cha v'nishpa l'avosecha shelo l'hachlef ez zaram b'uma acheres. L'kach hu oser eschem b'shvuos halalu shelo taknituhu. Achashu eno yachol yibadel mikem. You see this, for example, in the Tochecha in Sefer Vayikra, which depicts that even after we've sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not totally sever his relationship with us. V'af gam zos b'yosam b'eretz oyveihem, lo me'astim v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam l'afer b'yisitam, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. The bris continues. And therefore, v'zacharti lahem bris rishonim asher otesi osam eretz mitzrayim li'ani agoyim li'oslam le'lokim ani Hashem. And many psukim are of this sort. Shmuel says, Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo, bavor shmo agadol, ki ho'il Hashem la'asos eschem la'am. Amos, hine eine Hashem elokim b'mamlacha chata'a, v'shmadati osam al p'nei ha'adama. Yes, you'll sin, and yes, you'll be punished. Afes, lo hishmid, hashmid, hashmid es b'nei Yaakov num Hashem, but I won't utterly destroy you. However, there are other places in Tanakh which, simply read, indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can and may sever the relationship based and dependent upon our behavior and our deservingness. The Tochecha in Sefer Dvarim does not end off on a positive note like the one in Sefer Vayikra. If you look at Psukim Mem Hei and Samach Aleph in that Perek Chaf Ches, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to totally and utterly sever our relationship with his relationship with us because of our sinfulness. And this is a message that you see in many places. Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Ches, Melachim Beis Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Chaf, Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf Tes. Perhaps the most extreme formulation is in Yirmiyahu Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. Lemor, Hein Yishalach Ish Es Ishto Valchame Ito Vaisal Ish Acher, Hayashuv Eleha Od? Hallo, Chanof Techanef Haaretahi. Ve'at zanis re'im rabim v'shuv elai ne'um Hashem. If a woman is adulterous, and we were adulterous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we served idolatry, and she has many lovers and has many affairs, can she return to her husband? No. In fact, we know the halacha is that she becomes a surah labaila. He's chayiv lagarsha. He can't remarry her. And that very same message is used by the prophet to describe Klal Yisrael's infatuation with Avodah Zarah. Now, while these psukim don't conclusively state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did divorce the Jewish people, they certainly leave open the possibility that he may. And either way, these verses highlight the potentially negative dimension of our spousal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the answer to this stira is like we've been saying the whole time. Tzvei dinim. We are both his child and his spouse. The parent-child aspect of our bechira can never be terminated. The Gemara in Kiddushin picks up on this. It's actually a debate, but the Gemara says, "Daf lamed vav amid aleph banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem bizman shatem noagim minag banim atem kriyim banim ein atem noagim minag banim ein atem kriyim banim." Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we are only banim when we act like children. But Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir Omer, Bein kach uvein kach atem kuyim banim. Shenemar banim sichlim hema. The Omer, banim lo emun bam. The Omer, zera mireim banim mashchisim. The Omer, vaya b'mokom asher yomar lahem lo ami atem, yomar lahem b'ni el chai. That because we're banim, so even if we're rebellious, even if we're a ben sorer umore, but we're still a ben, it can never be terminated. And while it's a machlokas here in the Gemara, there's a Tshuvas HaRashba that says we paskin like Rav Meir. Umeshumad ze bichlal banim hu. Even a meshumad is begeder a ben. Kedivrei Rav Meir b'shili parakamad kiddushin. V'af al gav Rav Meir Rav Yehuda alach Rav Yehuda. Generally, we paskin like Rav Yehuda against Rav Meir. Hacha Rav Meir Krai Kodayik. Rav Meir, who says that the term banim indicates a permanent relationship which can never be broken, is supported by numerous psukim. And therefore, we are banim, and no matter what we do, we remain banim. Accordingly, there are many psukim. Oh. But on the other hand, our spousal relationship, the other aspect of our union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can be broken. And the psukim that indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can divorce us are a reflection of that spousal relationship. And thus both are true. We are both his children and we are his spouse. And accordingly, on one level, the relationship is eternal, guaranteed, and can never be broken. But on another level, it can indeed be broken. And this dichotomy can be seen in halacha as well. On the one hand, the Gemara in Yevamos, Mem Zayin Ud Beis, says, Tavol v'Allah hareu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav, l'may hilchasa, d'yahadir beyu mekadish bas Yisrael, Yisrael mumur karinan bey. The kiddush of kiddushin. Halacha is that A Jew can never lose his Jewishness. Even a convert, once he is converted, even if he chooses to return to his original faith, kiddush of kiddushin, he is still halachically Jewish. A non-Jew who's mekadesh an isha, there's no kiddushin. A mumar, a mishumad, who's mekadesh an isha, kiddush of kiddushin. The halacha recognizes the impossibility of losing one's status as a Jew. Ger shekibel alav Torah, v'nechshel davrecha, dafilu nechshel l'kol atar kula, hareu ki Yisrael mumar, nafkamina di kaddish kiddush of kiddushin, the Gemara Bechara says. The Gemara elsewhere derives this idea from Psukim and Yehoshua, which describe the sin of Achan, the Me'ilah, Chata Yisrael v'gam avru es brisi. And the Gemara darshins Chata Yisrael am Rabbi Abba bar Zavda am afal pisha Chata Yisrael hu. Even though he's Chote, he remains a Yisrael. And that's one aspect of the halacha, a reflection of what we're calling the parent-child bond, the Lech Lecha description. But at the same time, we know that many halachos treat certain types of sinners as goyim. Mumer is ke'akum l'chol davar. His shechit is invalid ke'goy. According to many opinions, you could charge him, you could charge a mishumad ribis. To assent, we call him ke'akum l'chol davar. His sefer Torah is burned. And a fuller elaboration on these halachos is beyond the scope of today's shiur. But we see that it's not just that his shechit is pasul, but he is ke'akum l'chol davar. The Rambam, while he paskins the halacha that a mishumad kiddush of kiddushin, also tells us in Hakdamah to Perek HaChelek that someone who rejects the Yud Gimel Ikari Amunah is not a Jew. That's what he writes. He's not Jewish. Even Rashi on that Gemara of Harehu Ki Yisrael Mumer writes, V'lo aminan de le'avi ovi kochavim gamur ki ilalon is gayer. We don't say he's a total guy. Kiddush of kiddushin. But we say he's a guy. And again, the answer is, according to what we've been saying, that both are true. This is reflected in Klal Yisrael as a whole, and also as an individual on a halachic level. I see there are a lot of questions. Let me make one last point, and then I'll take your questions. There's no doubt that, as we've seen, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complex and multifaceted. We'll sing later on tonight, Yadid Nefesh, Av Harachaman, Mishoch Avdecha El Ritzonecha. In that single line, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our Yadid, our friend, our soul friend, our Adon, and we are his Eved, Mishoch Avdecha, and our Av Harachaman, our Father. On Yom Kippur, we use all sorts of analogies to describe the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to be sure, there is no comparison. And thus multiple metaphors are needed. And it's also true that we can never fully understand and appreciate the nature of Bechiras Yisrael. However, just as we could never understand the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet there's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, so too, even though we can never fully appreciate the nature of Bechiras Yisrael, it's our job to try to understand it as best we can. And that's what Be'ezras Hashem we're going to do in this sugya, to try to understand the nature of this yachas. Yes. Okay.
I'm just wondering if based on this multifaceted relationship that we're talking about, she's going to already become usher and can never return. So is it, in terms of the multifaceted relationship, you said that fundamentally it's never broken, but there's that nevertheless we can send it out. But if it's compartmentalized in the same way that it is in halakha, then we never be able to return in the same way.
So I think we do find distinctions between the individual and the tzibor. Maybe we'll elaborate on that in a couple minutes. I'm gonna go back to that question. We'll try to be marchiv on it after I take the other questions, because that calls for a little bit of elaboration. Yeah.
I know you're addressing this, but the Abram point, so even the Manashiri said this specifically, but the Manashiri batted, like that's the explanation of why these...
Right, absolutely. And again, in Torah Shebaal Peh, you have both messages, and in Torah Shebaal Chsav, you have both messages. Sometimes it's even the reverse. Torah Shebaal Chsav tells us that we chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasev Nishma. Torah Shebaal Peh is Kafalem HaKagigis. It's not, it's complex, and in a sense I was oversimplifying it. And that's an expression of that. But even then, that pasuk is only stated well after HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him and Avram displayed his greatness. In other words, it's not at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha where you'd expect it,
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the nafkamina of this would be, but is there within this safety and health, like it's sad to say that at this point we've lost the spouse relationship and only are we still like the pasuk?
But Ezra's Hashem, I'll get to that. I'll try to get to that right now.
On Abram. Mm-hmm. So just why are we assuming that Hashem telling Abram Lech Lecha is an automatic bechira?
Because he says Vascha Lechai Gadol. That's what he says. He says,
maybe
I'm going to choose.
So maybe if he would have said no, then he would have chosen someone else.
Maybe. But the point at the very least is he's asking him, even if Naniach, like you're saying, he's saying, I want to make you into a Gai Gadol. That's the bechira. So maybe he could have said no. Maybe he wouldn't have. But it was an invitation just to say. No, because the Tzluya B'davar is that it's not dependent. The psukim when read kipshutam don't tell us why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him. Noach also could have said no, right? For his mission. But before HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Noach, it says Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dor esav esal kim esalich Noach. When Avram's chosen, it doesn't say anything about who he was and what he accomplished. Yeah.
So these two aspects relate to two aspects of Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about it called Edo Fev.
Yeah, it's a similar point. He brings many of the same types of rios, is what we've been saying. Yeah. Okay. So to answer your point, turn to the Makoros on Appendix B, which is on page 31 of your Makoros. This question of can God divorce the Jewish people? Has he divorced the Jewish people? So intuitively, we think that the answer, of course, is no. The possibility of divorce runs counter to the numerous promises mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make an eternal bond. And as I mentioned earlier, in medieval times, when Jews were forced to respond to Christian claims that God had rejected us, they staunchly denied the possibility of divine divorce. If you want to see an example of that, you should read the Ramban's Sefer HaGeula, which is all about that point. And yet, at the same time, the pasuk that we saw in Yirmiyahu seems to indicate otherwise. In fact, the Medrash itself raises this contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk in Yirmiyah implies that he can divorce us, and yet the pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Nun says the opposite. Ko amar Hashem, eze sefer krisus imachem, asher shilachtiha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us, where's your get? I didn't divorce you. A similar thing you see in Yechezkel Perek Chaf. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Hei understands the psukim there to refer to a group of people who came before the prophet Yechezkel and said, that's it, we've had enough, you're not interested in us, we're not interested in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's part ways. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, V'ha'oleh al ruchachem, hayo lo sihiya, asher atem omrim nieh kagayim, that which you think will be like the Gayim, that's it. Im lo biad chazaka v'zroa netuyo v'chema shfucha em lo chalechem. That possibility does not exist. So how do we resolve? What's this yishuv between the stira of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu will say? So we could say the pasuk in Yirmiyahu doesn't say that he did divorce us, or to the extent that it does, it might be referring to the 10 tribes, but not to Yehuda. But still, even the certainly alludes to the possibility of divorce, which is a stira to the Bris Olam. We could be mechalik between a whole and a part, but again, I think it has to be more basic. So, as I mentioned, the Medrash asked this question, the Yalkut Shimoni, and this appears in other places in similar lines. Asida Knesses Yisrael Shetomar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ata Hichtavta Lemor Hein Yishlach Ish Es Ishto. Klal Yisrael are going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you divorced us. The pasuk that we saw, Hein Yishlach Ish Es Ishto. Omer La HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Klom Hichtavti Ela Ish V'alo Kfar Nemar Kilo El Anochi V'lo Ish. The pasuk says that if an ish, if the wife of an ish has an affair, then he may not return to him, her. But I am not an ish. And moreover, v'chigrushim atem li beis Yisrael, ko amar Hashem, eiz sefer krisos imachem. The other pasuk we saw. No, where's your get? I didn't divorce you. The Beis HaLevi in Drasha Yud Zayin beautifully explains this medrash. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making two tainus to us. First, he's saying that there's a difference between the husband-wife relationship and that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And why is that? Because we have Kedushas HaGuf. It's an inherent type of sanctity, an inherent holiness, which can never be broken. As a mashal, the halacha is that b'kedushas haguf ein moel achar moel, yesh moel achar moel. When it comes to something that's kedushas damim, which isn't inherent holiness, so then if you do me'ilah, it loses its sanctity, such that if you did me'ilah again, there isn't me'ilah. But when something has kedushas haguf, if a animal, if a carbon has kedushas haguf, you can't be podet. Yesh moel achar moel. And likewise, because the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael is eternal, is inherent, then by definition it's eternal. Along similar lines, the Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael Perek Yud Aleph, that because the initial marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coercive, Kafa Aleihem Har Kegiges, so then divorce against their will is also impossible. Right, like the halacha is, v'lo siya l'isha, lo yucha l'shalcha kol yamav. If you didn't have a, if you had a choice about marrying a woman, or a woman, then the marriage was voluntary, then it could be ended. But otherwise, it cannot. He writes, u'matzasi uv'medrish matzasi. This is again the Maral. Kishabo Yisrael l'kabel atayra kafal en har kegigish. Shayu anusin l'kabel asatayra v'ksiv etzel ones v'lo yucha l'shalcha kol yamav. Anything that's optional, so then is contingent. It could have happened, but it didn't happen to. It didn't have to happen, and therefore it could end. Kimo kol ish shenasa isha, efshar sheyisosa, efshar shelo yisosa, lekach efshar sheyiten gam getla. And that's why even after Kafaleh, that's why even after Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kafaleh in Har Kegiges, which created a permanence to the relationship that could never be broken. And in light of what we're saying, it's very beautiful. In other words, it's not, perhaps we could add an additional point. you suggested in your question that so klape, the spousal relationship, taka, it's ended, but the parent-child relationship still exists. Perhaps the pshat is a little deeper. The parent-child relationship ensures and guarantees that even the spousal relationship can never be broken, because it's one that's based off of Kedushas Aguf. And thus, while we might be far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but even that aspect has to remain. And that's the pshat in the psukim, Eza Sefer Krisos, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, where's your get? I didn't divorce you. I can't divorce you. Even the Nisuin is not a normal Nisuin, because it was based off of Kafalein HaKagigis. Rashi brilliantly captures this idea in his Akdama to Shir HaShirim. He writes, Vomer Ani, remember, Shir HaShirim is about that spousal depiction, says Rashi, Shira'a Shlomo b'Ruach HaKodesh Hasidin Yisrael legalos gola achar gola, churban achar churban, uleis onen begalos zeh, al kivodam harishon velizkor chiba rishon asher hayu segula mikol ha'amim lemor elcha vashuva elishi harishon ki tov li az me'ata v'yizkiru es chasadav v'es ma'alam asher ma'alu v'es hatovos asher amar laseis lahem ba'acharis hayamim v'yasad sefer hazeb ruach hakodesh belashon isha tzrura almanos chayos mishtokekes al baila. Who is Klal Yisrael in Shir HaShirim? She's an aguna. An isha tzrura. An almana chaya. What's an almana chaya? She's on the one hand separated. She's an almana. But she's still connected. She's still tzrura al baila. She's still mishtokekes al baila. The kedushas haguf manifested and reflected in the parent-child bond guarantees and ensures that even the ishus aspect is guaranteed and can never be broken. One other point related to today's point, just a halachic issue that emerges that you should at the very least be aware of, though we don't have time to be marech. This is in Appendix C, which is the controversy as to whether a Jew can actually lose their personal status as a Jew. We saw before the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. And the way we translated it is, a Jew, even if he sins, remains a Jew. The truth of the matter is that is not the only way that could be translated. If you look at Rashi in Sanhedrin and Rabbeinu Hananel in Sanhedrin, Ralbag on the Pasuk, Mitzudas David on the Pasuk, they all would translate the following. A Yisrael, meaning to say, even though the people have sinned, they are still called Yisrael. Thus, even after Achan egregiously sinned, Klal Yisrael as a whole didn't lose the title Yisrael. And if you look at the parable that follows in the Gemara, it supports this reading about the thorns. Nevertheless, now if that's the correct interpretation of this klal, then it's not an appropriate source for the question of whether a mishumud keeps the Shem Yisrael. Because the Gemara is saying, when someone has sinned, Klal Yisrael don't lose their Shem Yisrael. It doesn't say that individual retains the Shem Yisrael. What's interesting is that even though Rashi in Sanhedrin interprets it that way, if you look at a number of tshuvos of Rashi, many of which you have over here, he always invokes this Gemara to tell us that an individual retains his Jewish status even after he has sinned. In Tshuvos Rashi, Simen Kuf, Ayin Aleph, Rashi writes this point, Shaf Yisrael Mumud Lirtsono Shekidash Kedushav Kedushin Shenemar Yisrael Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael Hu. He doesn't quote the Gemara that we'd expect in Bechoros or Yevamos. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. In another Tshuva of Rashi, he talks about whether a Mishumad has to do Chalitza. And again, he writes that he has to. Ali Yevama Shanafel Lefnei Yava Mishumad Sricha Chalitza. Vein Chiluk Bein Shekidsha Habal V'achar Kach Nishtamed Bein Shestamed V'achar Kodeba Kiddushin. In another tshuva concerning ribis, Rashi says the same thing. It's interesting that Rashi again doesn't quote the halachic texts from Yevamos or Bechoros. Instead, he quotes this agadic gemara. Perhaps Rashi's trying to tell us the reason why the marriage is still valid, as opposed to just telling us the halacha. Or perhaps the Agadic source more forcefully underscore the totality of the apostate's Jewishness, whereas the Geman Bechoros could be understood as limited to the laws of marriage and divorce. Either way, this is the view of Rashi, and this is the predominant view among the Rishonim and Achronim. There is, however, a view among the Gaonim, the Baal HaItter, and others. It's quoted in the Tur, Evan HaEzer, Mem Dalid, that seems to disagree. Yisrael mumer shekidash kiddush of kiddushin v'tzricha get v'yesh omrim demumer l'chal shabbos farhesya v'lavod kochavim lazalos ke'akom gamor v'ein kiddush of kiddushin. And the Torah rejects this v'lo nehira. There is a famous Tshuvas Marashdam who tries to resuscitate the view of the Gaonim and Paskin that way, and almost everybody rejects this Tshuvas Marashdam. If you take a look in the Takana Sashavim of Reb Tzadok, Perek Tesvav, he talks about why he's totally wrong, both on in terms of Agada and in terms of Halacha. There's a tshuva on Rav Moshe where someone brought up this Marashdam, and Rav Moshe says that he couldn't have said it. It's a Tau Sofer. V'apshita shahaya l'gemara shemumer hu ki Yisrael gamor l'chaldino hu mishum delo shayach ha-metzias l'Yisrael shi'asa b'din nachri. And he says, you know, well, how did he write it? V'lachein pashad uvarish uhutos shapalta klumaso shalagon marashdam lidchos b'zeh sugyas ha-gemara v'divrei kol ha-poskim. How could he forget? And this certainly is the halacha. We don't have time to discuss it, but there is an interesting question whether a group of people could be excluded from Klal Yisrael. The Gemara Yevamos Tezayin Amud Beis considers this possibility with respect to the 10 lost tribes. The Gemara says, Lo zazu misham ad shasom ovde kochavim gemurim. And the question concerns how to relate to this and the like. But again, that's we're out of time. So next week, Bezras Hashem, we're going to begin with a discussion of understanding the Mahalech of the Kuzari on Bechiras Yisrael. Just one announcement. First of all, Be'ezras Hashem will be making a Kiddush to celebrate the birth of our daughter, Rach Hadassah, the Shabbos. After davening, you're all invited. And also next Shabbos, Be'ezras Hashem, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, my Rebbe, will be here in Yeshiva for Shabbos. He'll be speaking on a couple of occasions. And it's an incredible opportunity. He's a Gadol Batorah in both Nigla and Halacha, as well as Nister and Machshava. I think he's going to be speaking more about Machshava, because I think that's something that we could use perhaps a little more of here in Yeshiva, at least on Shabbos. Friday, I don't know. But if anyone's able to be here for Shabbos, it's an amazing opportunity to go hear him at the Tish, at Shal Shittis. Maybe he's going to speak some other occasions, even in Mount Sinai. Anyway, it's a worthwhile opportunity if you have the option of staying. Have a good Shabbos.